Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This dark, like, this shit hella white, and it's bright as fuck.
I don't know what you're talking about, but we started the recording and I'm not taking it out.
Fair enough.
Alright, everyone, welcome to Land Grant Holy Land's I-70 football show, where we discuss the Big Ten from Rutgers to Ohio State. You can catch us every Monday breaking down the major games, storylines, previewing the next week's slate. If you love the Big Ten, pack a bag, jump in the car, and enjoy the ride. As always, I am your host, Jordan Williams, and I'm here with my co-host, Dante.
Oh, what's up, everybody? What's up, Jordan?
You know, life. I'm, like, super busy right now.
Right.
So, not great. I have at least one thing that has to be done by midnight, but three things that need to be done before I go to sleep. Oof. And I have to go back to work tomorrow, which is whatever. But it's, like, I typically work in the office, as do you. But I got Monday and Tuesday where I worked from home.
Right.
So I haven't been in the office since, like, Thursday of, like, 2 weeks ago, it almost seems like. Well, not 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago. The Thursday before the week of Thanksgiving is the last time I've been in the office. So it's been at least, like, six business days and, like, 10 or so regular days, and I am not ready to go back. but also, yeah. Also, for, you know, whatever, anyone who's listening and doesn't know this, I'm back in school. I'm getting a second master's because I hate myself. And I had all this time off and I didn't do my homework because it was time off. So here I am on Sunday. And I was like, I normally do homework on Saturday, but then Ohio State lost. So I wasn't touching homework.
Oh.
So now here I am, you know.
Paying for your decisions.
Yeah. What is that TikTok? It's like, is that the consequences of my actions? you know, it's your boy. Yeah, it's the consequences of my actions. And it's like, this is my second master's. So I've been in school for like a total of 6 years. I know how to do this.
Do you though?
And I'm still procrastinating. Anyone who's like, if we have any listeners who are in like high school or in like in college and they're like, procrastination gets better, I'll be all right. Don't be like me. Because I have not gotten better, clearly, as I procrastinated this week. Because this paper is really not that hard either. I could have had it done. I mean, I'm gonna get it done in like 4 total hours of work, and I had like a week or so to do it. So, you know. What does that say about me? Don't answer that. Just, you know, what does that say about me?
Do better, sir.
So anyway.
Do much better.
Yeah, do better. I'll do better next semester. So yeah, there's one thing that everyone wants us to talk about, but I don't care. Oh. We're going to talk about it. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about it.
Right.
But that is not the most important thing that happened this weekend.
Are you positive about that? I feel like it was the most important thing that happened in the Big Ten this
it's
weekend.
Not. Mm. Well, and the Big Ten, yes, but like, it's not the most important thing that happened in general.
You sure about that also? Not, like, I mean,
yes, I'm very positive. Because the most important thing that happened this weekend was Kent State winning the MAC
East
for the first time since 1972 and making their first appearance in the MAC championship game. Mm. So literally anything that happened with the other 129 teams in college football doesn't matter. Yeah. It pales in comparison.
If you cannot tell people that was made. He is just trying to procrastinate like he just said he was doing with his homework and other things. He's trying to procrastinate the inevitable of talking about the team up north, as they like to call them, in the Ohio State University.
No, I'm not trying to procrastinate that because I've been talking about that since it happened. It's like all I've talked about all day on Twitter. But genuinely, I am okay with sacrificing 1 year at Ohio State for Kent State to win the MAC, which they've never done.
Okay.
I don't know the demographics. I don't know the demographics of people who listen to this show, but I imagine there's not that many people who were alive in 1972 or at least old enough to remember that Kent State won the MAC in 1972.
Let me see.
That's like 40 years?
49
years. I can't do math.
49 years ago, so...
Okay, so that's not as bad as I thought. I'm sure we have some people in their 60s. Mid to late 40s, early 50s who listen to this.
No, they'll have to be in like their like 60s, late 50s, late 50s, 60s to remember it.
Right, because like if you're only 49, that's the year you were born. You know, up to like 40, up to like 55, you're only six. You know, you really don't. Yeah, so like 60s. I'm sure there's maybe a couple people in their 60s that listen to this show. But for the majority of people that listen, you either weren't alive, weren't thought of, your parents weren't alive. My mom's not 49, by the way, so she wasn't alive.
My mom was alive.
So like, yeah. I'm not procrastinating. I'm ready to talk about it. I have to hold that. But this is more important.
Okay.
Because this never happens.
Right. Like, no, you're right. It's not in our lifetime, well, at least in our lifetime, but in some people's lifetime, it hasn't happened.
It's 100%. So, and we're both Kent State graduates. We haven't talked about Kent in a while. I just feel like
this is
something that we got to talk about.
I was excited. I saw that for one.
Yeah, I watched the game.
Oh,
you know,
it was scary. Screens.
Yeah, it was a really good game. I mean, my TV was on the Ohio State game, so I'm not going to say I saw every second of it. Right. I was going back and forth, but I saw a lot of the big stuff that happened.
Probably should have put that game on the TV saw since a lot Ohio of the... State was getting like, but whoa.
Listen, you ain't lying. I saw a lot of the big touchdowns. I mean, and it's a lot of history at Kent State. The quarterback... I think he broke a couple of records just as far as just records for quarterback records at Kent State.
Okay.
We had a running back who reached 1,000 yards,
nice.
I believe, since the for the first time since Dree Archer, which would have been 2011 or 2012.
Wow, that's that long ago?
Yeah. Dree Archer is that long ago.
Really?
I mean, he went to the NFL, had a decent career, and then washed out, like... And that's not like a negative. Most people's NFL careers are like 2 or 3 years. That wasn't me talking about Andre Archer. I'm just saying, like, yeah. Because he had been in the league for a couple of years when we got to Kent in 2014. He was already in the league in 2014. I'm pretty sure. Because I know for a fact he wasn't on the team when I was there. Because I worked on the team starting my freshman year. And he was already in the
league. He was there when I was my first year there because I transferred in 2013. So I think he was there.
So he was drafted. I don't know about. Well, okay. Even if that's the case, he didn't reach 1,000 yards in that 2013 season. He did it in 2012.
Right. I'm about to look this up. I'm on a computer. Stupid.
Just I always look up stuff. I always look up stuff on my phone. Yeah, he was drafted in 2014. Okay, so you're right.
Yes, I was there. Yeah, and I think he was hurt. Yeah. He was hurt most of that year.
Probably that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they a lot of good stuff happening, a lot of big things happening. I have one thing to say though. Kent State won the MAC East and is going to the MAC Championship. Their record is Northern Illinois.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, their record is 7-5. That is just such like a crazy thing when it comes to like smaller like conferences and stuff. Like Ohio State fans, and I'm one of them, you're gonna hear me complain in about 10 minutes about us going 10-2. And 7-5 is a really good record for them. And partially it's because of those games, right?
Yeah.
They got those bye games. They accepted three losses on their schedule essentially.
Right.
And then they went 6-2 in the MAC, which 6-2 in your conference is pretty solid. Obviously, it was enough to win the conference this year.
Pretty much.
To win the division, at least. But it's just, like, so crazy that it's, like, you really have to, like, temper your expectations. It's, like, so if Ohio State went 7-5, everyone would be fired. Like, literally everyone on the planet Earth.
It would have to be, like, because of injuries. For something like that.
No.
Wow.
It couldn't happen. There's absolutely no reason for it to be acceptable for Ohio State to go 7-5.
Wow. Okay.
It's just not. It is, like, the last time that happened, or it was close to that, was 2011 with Luke Fickell. And literally, like, Luke Fickell, who was an Ohio State guy, was a defensive coordinator for years, played here, all of that kind of stuff. Everyone loved him. One season as head coach. And everyone hated him. literally so much that there's a chance he will never coach at Ohio State again. And, like, you know how big of a coach he is right now, and a lot of people want him. If Ryan Day left today, there may be some fans that want Luke Fickell, but there's still going to be a subset of fans who don't want him because he had an opportunity, and it was the worst year we've had in forever. The last time Michigan beat us, 2011. Penn State beat us in 2011. Michigan, like most of the teams that have beaten us recently, all beat us in 2011.
Yeah. That was a hilarious season.
Yeah, there's zero way Ohio State fans are. There are people who are mad about 10-2. So yeah, that's not happening.
Get up, yeah, it's just like, you gotta go.
I just noticed that, and I was like, man, like 7-5 is a great season for Kent, but it's just so, like, interesting how, like, different expectations are for other teams and programs and stuff like that. But yeah, 7-5, they're good. They went 6-2. They won the MAC East division. They got millions of dollars to accept some losses. I'm really happy.
Yeah,
I hope we
win this game for real, because that'd be too. Nice.
Yeah, if we get the outright win in the MAC, and we get to 8-5, and then we get to go to a bowl game with a chance to go 9-5,
right.
They may build a statue of that coach, and I might pitch in.
Wow,
not a lot, but I might give him $5. It's $5. Yeah. I give him $5 for the statue.
I'm not giving him $5. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I'm gonna give him $5 for the statue. You're being a hater.
Am I?
Yeah.
Nah.
And guess what?
Okay.
I knew I watched this game, but I had to make sure. Kent State's already beaten Northern Illinois once.
Okay. This win.
And the earlier in November, November 3rd to be exact.
Oh.
We won 52-47.
Okay.
So, it's hard to beat a team twice. But you have already beaten them once, which means you at least go into the game believing you can do it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So that is the important thing for me. What is going on in this game? They've run this 4th-and-2 play like 7 times.
Okay, I thought I was tripping. I was like, am I reading this right? Like, they just keep going.
Yeah, no, they've... And then they just got a first down because the defense had too many men on the field. The Browns are trash. Just throw them away. They've literally run this play 7 times. And now, on the 7th attempt, you have 12 men on the field and they get a first down.
Yeah, no, that is kind of sad.
I just can't believe it. Okay. So anyway, back to the good news. So yeah, I just, like, the only thing that I'm concerned about, because, I mean, this coaching search, which we'll talk about in a little bit, is very hectic and crazy. I'm worried that Coach Lewis is not going to be at Kent State anymore. The one
it
thing
does
I will
seem
say,
to be that time of his career, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he's taking them to back-to-back bowl games, which just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And then getting them to the MAC East Championship is major. But if they win it, especially, I don't know how another job doesn't hire him.
Yeah, somebody's going to throw him some money. He won't see it, Kent. I know you. I recruited all y'all here, but I'm out of here.
And it's like, yeah, you know, happy for him. That's kind of how it goes. That's why you go to these schools and stuff, whatever. But I'm not going to be happy about it because it's not like Kent is not an easy place to win. Like, it's not like we're guaranteed for them to hire another good coach. Like, we could just as easily be the dregs of the MAC again.
You're not
and,
wrong.
And win, like, one or two games a year. So
you're not wrong.
I'm hoping for at least another year. You know what I mean? One more year of them. That'll make it 3 years. Maybe get another MAC, something like that. And then, you know, then he can go off and be great somewhere else and make a lot more money than they're paying him at Kent, because he is not making no money. I tell you that right now.
No, probably not.
Kent is, I mean, maybe it's changed with the administration and stuff like that, but Kent was always one of the lowest paying jobs in the country.
Yeah.
And especially in the MAC. And I get, like, they don't have a lot of money, but there was a couple of people in the MAC that was making close to $1 million or a little over $1 million. And, like, a lot of head coaches in the MAC sit around, like, $500,000, which, I mean, for us, for normal people, that is, like, a stupid amount of money.
Stupid.
But, like, when you have Mel Tucker making 9.5 mil, it's like, all right, if I can take a step up,
right?
That's how you really.
Somebody gonna offer me about really, 4 or 5 mil. I'm gonna be like, man. I mean, I love it here, but I'm gonna have to go.
Yeah, it don't even have to be 4 or 5. Just 1.5. That's $1 million. That's $1 million increase.
True.
2.1, something like that. You good? You're good. Like, so I don't know how long he's gonna stay, but at least for now, it's happy. It's good. Kent State's done something that they've never done before, back-to-back bowl games. And I, you know, since I don't have to watch the Ohio State game, unfortunately, will be going to that game. It's in Detroit. That's up the street. You haven't driven to Detroit?
No, I've driven to Bowling Green, which is close to Detroit, but I've never driven to Detroit.
Have you driven to Bowling Green from Columbus?
No.
Okay, so it doesn't count. Detroit is the worst drive in America from Columbus. I promise you. It is so bad. It's like a little under 4 hours away. I would rather drive 6.5, 7 hours to Charlotte than drive to Detroit.
Wow.
I would rather add 2, 2.5 hours to my drive than drive to Detroit. It is literally the worst drive from Columbus.
Why?
It's because there's no highway that connects to it. So you spend most of it on this, like, back road, and it's just like it's a back road. It's construction. There's nothing interesting happening. There's nowhere to stop. If you don't go that way, it's even worse. We were in a different part of Columbus. We were further up north. And then we were going to Detroit. And because of where we were, there was no connecting. We literally spent it on, it wasn't even a freeway. We were driving through towns, like, and not cities. When I say towns, I want you to understand I'm talking about towns, like the one courthouse towns, like the grocery store is 45 minutes away. Like, I'm using the word town for a reason. Like,
oh, fair enough.
This town used to be horseback and buggy. And then they just didn't. There's no civilization. We're driving through. There are stop signs, not stop lights. Stop signs.
You know what? I think I know what you're talking about, because I've driven to Indiana from Columbus, and it's the exact same thing getting into Indiana. It's like you got to go through a bunch of towns and like Amish horse and buggy areas.
Yeah, it's literally the worst drive ever. But I am making that drive for my Kent State Golden Flashes. I will be there. I don't know if I'm going to do it, because I was just going to drive up and drive back. But I just saw they just sent out a thing, $50, you get brunch and a ticket. The athletic director is having a brunch up there at one of the hotels, because this just never happens. And so I'm considering if I want to do that. I would just have to get up there a little bit earlier than I was planning on it. But $50 for a ticket and brunch, it's not bad.
And some of it
goes to the scholarship fund or some cause or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They also have an alumni rate for the hotel, which I'm probably not doing that, because it's like a 4-hour drive and I don't want to spend $170 for one night in Detroit. But
I'm sorry. That was uncalled for. That was uncalled for.
Yeah. So anyway, That is major. And for everyone who doesn't care about Kent State, first of all, why don't you care about Kent State?
Yeah, what's but going also, on? We've been talking about it long enough. Come on. Like
there should be a little bit of infatuation or something, a little bit of respect. Like, you know the vibes.
Something like that. Something.
You know, right? You know what we're here for. When you check the ESPN app, you glance at the Kent State score, right?
Yeah, come on, yeah, man. You know you want them to succeed.
Exactly. But I don't have nothing else to say about Kent State. I'm very happy. I think it's obviously it's history. It's a really good thing. And it's great when your team program alumni base has been absolute garbage for all of your life. Plus more, it's great for them to succeed a little bit. I'm happy for the players. I'm happy in particular for Coach Farrell, who played at Kent State and has coached there for the last forever as a GA and then as a coach. So he's finally getting some success. I think it's a great story. But let's get to the real story. The story that people are on here and have been waiting for us to talk about. Michigan bullied. And bullied is the right word, but the wrong word. It doesn't feel like it's harsh enough.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
Like, there needs to be something worse than... Is there a word worse than bullied?
I don't know. I can't really...
There's a word that's worse than bullied, but, like we're not going to say it. We have to censor ourselves. True. It's a four-letter word that starts with F. But we're going to stick with bullied for now.
It was raw, though. Definitely raw.
Yeah.
No
lube. Oh, my God. They bullied Ohio State in every facet of the game, and I'm disgusted. I'm shocked.
Crazy to see.
And it's like we talked about it, right? And we detailed exactly what would have to happen for them to win the game.
No big plays, long methodical drives.
And but exactly neither of us thought they could do it.
No.
Like, I definitely didn't. And before we continue, we're going to talk about this for a while. But I just have to say this out front so I don't forget it. I won't say he earned my respect because you're 1-5, but Jim Harbaugh has earned more of my respect this season.
He definitely showed a different, a more aggressive side. He looked like a more complete coach. He looked like what he was supposed to be when he was hired.
100%. And I don't know if that's sustainable. I mean, you look at, you know, 7 years as a coach. This is the outlier.
Yeah.
So I'm not ready to go all out and be like, oh, like there's a lot of Ohio State fans who are like, doom is gloom. This is over. Like people are, you know, out here about to pretend like, you know, Michigan's about to go on a 10-year run and all this other kind of stuff.
Nah.
And I'm not ready to say that because I still don't believe in Jim Harbaugh. But for today... And by today, I mean Saturday. For today, for this week, and for the next 365 days, he gets to live as the coach who bullied Ohio State.
Bullied.
And for what he did this year, the changes he made to himself, the changes he made to his staff, the rallying he did for his players. And Jay, I talked about this on the instant recap. I don't really believe it was all him. I think this was spurred by two people.
Thank you.
I think it was spurred by Aiden. I think it was spurred by Aiden Hutchinson, who is the star defensive end.
Yep.
But his dad played at Michigan, and I think he really just got disgusted with the fact that they hadn't won. And I think it was spurred by Mike Hart, who played at Michigan. And I think those two, like, because we had talked about before, I think it was on the show, maybe it wasn't, but people have talked about before, it doesn't feel like Michigan ever fully bought into the rivalry. And I think those two people, this season at least, brought a level of intensity and got the rest of the team to buy into this rivalry, unlike anyone else could.
Okay.
Aiden Hutchinson sacrificed millions of dollars to come back to Michigan for the sole reason of beating Ohio State.
Yeah, he literally said that Hart, was the literal reason he came back, which I liked. Like, he definitely wanted to win, and he got to win.
Yeah, and then Mike Hart is one of the best running backs in Michigan's history. He coined the term "little brother" for Michigan State, and that is someone that's going to come in and really like that. Like, everyone says they want a Michigan man and stuff like that, but you know how it is with players. Not everyone really cares about the little things. Like, Harbaugh's a Michigan man, but he never really cared about the rivalry, you know?
No.
I think Mike Hart did, obviously, and I think he was able to lead some of that rallying cry and some of that changes. So I don't know where you want to go with this. There's really a lot to talk about. We need to talk about the game itself. We need to talk about the future, the whatever. But, like, I gave my initial thoughts. What are your initial thoughts?
It was hilarious. It was hilarious to watch. And the reason why I say that is because each time Ohio State got the ball – and I knew as like as a Michigan fan, you probably like you was tense every time, especially in that first half. Every time they got the ball, you're like, is it gonna be this drive where they just go down and get a touchdown in 2 minutes with a big play? And I think it was one drive that happened where it was a big play and they got a touchdown. Every other time, Ohio State had to really drive down the field. Like, Michigan would hold them to – it would get them to 3rd and long, but they would get the first down, which was, I bet, scary each time that happened because you're like, oh, we almost got off the field. So I thought it was funny in that aspect because Michigan did exactly what we said they needed to do to win that game. No big plays and score. Almost every time you get the ball. And they scored almost every time they had the ball.
Yeah, and I don't know. The craziest thing about it is I didn't think Michigan could beat Ohio State because they had to run the ball. And that's not even so much just a Michigan thing. It's very hard to win a game when you're a run only team.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Naval teams, right? They'll run for 350 not Naval, the because that's a school. The military schools, they'll run for 350 yards against everyone and lose by 30 points. Like, it's just hard to do that. And then you look at Ohio State, you look at the athletes, you look at how fast they can score, all of that kind of stuff. It's really hard to believe that, like, you're just going to come in here, only run the ball, and still win. And they did it. They did. Like, that is the...
And what did that quarterback... He had one mistake, and I thought it was going to cost him the game. He didn't mess up for the rest of that game. He played a beautiful game.
Largely because he didn't.
He didn't have to, but when he had to, right? But when he had to, he didn't mess it up.
Yeah, and it's just like it's crazy because it's just like everything that needed to go right went right for Michigan. And not everything, because there were some things that went okay, but most everything that could go wrong for Ohio State went wrong. I mean, literally, the one shining spot in our secondary, our young corner, Denzel Burke, who's a freshman, he played like a freshman for the first time this season. He got beat twice and then got a pass interference, which I don't think was pass interference, but still, it mattered. And I mean, it didn't really matter that much because it was... No, that I mixed up my plays, but yeah, he got beat twice, once for a touchdown, and then he got a pass interference, and it's like, this dude has played at an all Big Ten level all year, potentially could have been an All American. Maybe he needed a couple more interceptions to make that happen. I think he only has one, but he played a perfect year, especially for a young guy, and in the biggest game. He had the worst game of his career. And it's a young career. He's a first-round talent. He's going to come back. He's going to be a three-year guy. He's not staying for a fourth.
I hope not.
He's going to be the next long line. He's going to be the next in a long line of great Ohio State DBs in the NFL. But the one game you needed him to play at his best, and he didn't. That is just emblematic of everything that could go wrong. Like, if you go into this game and you're like, there are like three players, four players I know are going to have a good game. He would have been one of them, especially because his good game is not contingent on anyone else. Like, it's hard to say Travion Henderson is going to have a good game because he needs the offensive line to play well, which they did not. He also needs good play calling, which didn't happen. But a corner doesn't need anything. They're really just by themselves. And, yeah, he didn't play well. So,
and they ran the ball up the middle – to the edge. It didn't matter. They was going to get 7-8 yards each carry.
Yeah, it didn't matter. And that's just like a, as a fan, and I know it's even worse as a player, but as a fan, that's just like a gut-wrenching feeling, knowing that, like, when the game is on the line and you're still within close, because that's the one thing I'll say, right? The game ended up being 15 points, but for most of the game, it was close, and it always felt like Ohio State's one play away, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a credit to Ohio State that they can play the worst game they played all year and still have a chance to
like
win.
Like, it feels like, I think that, yeah, you still got a chance.
And they had a legitimate chance. They did. And I think that kind of speaks to, you know, how good Ohio State is and the talent gap and some stuff like that. Because the game that Michigan played, if they played against anybody else, they would have blew them out by 30. If they played that game against Michigan State, they would have blew them out by 30. So, but I'm saying all of this to say,
they still do.
As a fan, it's like the offense can do it. The offense can do it, but to know that your defense has no chance of stopping them, to know that it doesn't matter if the offense keeps scoring, it doesn't matter how late the game gets, that if they get the ball back, they're going to score. That is such a gut-wrenching feeling. And I'm watching it, and I'm just like, there are no signs that they're going to get a stop. There are no signs that they're going to get a stop every time they get the ball. And then it's like, okay, you want to be positive. You're like, okay, they're going to get a stop this time. One of those late fourth quarter drives, it's actually their second or third last drive. In the fourth quarter, I'm like, okay, we're going to get a stop this time. We haven't got a stop all game, but we're going to get a stop this time. The first run was like 15 yards. I said, nope. And that was like the 3 or 4 play, 80-yard drive, all runs, all big runs,
big, explosive runs
when they scored. And I'm just like, yeah, it's over. Like not only did you not stop them,
you gave up a first down immediately.
And you gave them, yeah, and you gave them freaking a touchdown on 3 runs.
Yeah.
Come on, it's just, I don't know. So, Ohio State fans, for those who listen, you know, it's probably mainly Ohio State fans that listen to this. There's going to be a lot of changes that need to happen. If you all follow me on Twitter, you'll have seen I've tweeted at least 5 or 6 times today that it's whatever time, and there have been no coach firings, because I don't think this is something Ohio State needs to wait on. Other teams across the country are firing coordinators, staff members. Indiana fired their offensive coordinator. Like, you know they're not good. You know what the issues are. There may be some coaches where you're like, maybe we're not sure. Like, I've seen people talk about we need a new strength and conditioning coach. I've seen their reasons for it. That's not anything that I had noticed before. So, like, I'm not going to say they need to fire him. Although the reasonings on Twitter actually seem pretty logical. So, like, maybe that's the guy you have to think about if you're going to fire. But, like, the defensive staff, you know what it is. You know what it was against Minnesota. You know what it was against Oregon. You know what it was against Tulsa. Those decisions should have been made weeks ago. And now you were just waiting for the season to end. And it was even more so after the way the season ended. So what are we waiting 24 hours for? What are we waiting 48 hours for? So, Ohio State fans, we have to take this L, right?
Yes,
they've been taking L's. They've been taking L's for years. We can take one. Also, I can't sit here and say the rivalry is better when Michigan wins every once in a while and then cry when Michigan wins. Because I've said that for years. And then they won. I can't be like, oh, no, I changed my mind. So at least that's where I stand. I mean, it hurts, but it happens, right? Even Alabama loses to Auburn every once in a while and should have lost to Auburn this weekend.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong.
Yeah.
I didn't expect a full domination from that offensive line. I didn't expect that at all. Because that was one thing you kept saying. It was like, our pass defense is kind of bad, but we can stop the run and we're going to be fine against Michigan. And it's like they weren't really ready. I don't think defense was ready. Offense got ready in the second half, but I don't think they were ready to play that game.
And that is why the entire defensive staff needs to get fired. Like, I don't know. Like, you can't get bullied like that for 60 minutes and leave with any sort of positives. No one played well.
No one.
No and it's one. Like, and because it's a Big Ten podcast, I don't want to get too far in the weeds. Like, and some of the Ohio State specific podcasts I do, like, we're going to talk about like very intimate, like, details and stuff like that. But one thing that we talked about in the instant recap is all of the players who played bad were recruiting misses. And we knew that they were recruiting misses before the season started. Like, I actually just tweeted this not that long ago because people were talking about red shirts and stuff like that. At Ohio State, great players leaving three. Elite players leaving three, great players leaving four. If you're there for your fifth or sixth year, you're not good. We've had some players who in their fifth or sixth year turned out to have a good year and got drafted. But at a school like Ohio State, Bama, Georgia, if you're a fifth or sixth year player, you're not good. That means your spot was taken by a freshman who left in 3 years. Too many fifth and sixth year guys on the defensive line. None of them panned out. Too many fifth and sixth year guys on the linebacker. Two of them who transferred midseason because they got replaced by young guys who are not that good as well. No depth in the secondary, which we knew because they were recruiting misses. All of our good secondary players are freshmen because we went 2-3 years without good recruiting in the secondary. And sure, it's good recruiting compared to other people, but it's not good recruiting compared to Ohio State. Right. And so all of those misses over this staff, misses in development, misses in recruiting, misses in all these other areas, they showed. And it's Ohio State. So, like, those things aren't going to show against Akron. They're not going to show against Rutgers. They're not going to show against Maryland. But they showed against Oregon. Mm-hmm. They showed against Michigan. And they would have shown against Georgia, Alabama, whoever else we played. They show in those big games. And, I mean, it's just what happened.
It's what happened. I'm sorry I didn't come over because it would have been hilarious to see your face as that was happening.
Yeah, don't apologize. I'm glad you didn't come over. I could not have handled company. I was so stressed. Like, oh, literally, like, I try not to be like a crazy fan and like stuff like that sometimes, but you know, I don't know if this happens with you, but like, you know, sometimes like when you're so invested in something that when it's over, you're exhausted.
Yeah.
After watching that game and then doing the podcast, I was so emotionally exhausted. Like, I was so emotionally invested. I was physically exhausted afterwards. Like, I literally went and got wings for some comfort food and just laid down. I didn't watch football the rest of the night.
Wow.
Wow. Like I watched, I think I had a game on when I was recording. And then obviously at the wing spot, because we sat down, there was games on the TV. But when I came back home, I didn't watch football the rest of the night. I'm like a freaking fiend. My fiance jokes that, and I say that you know who she is, but they don't. So that's right. Why I'm saying my fiance. My fiance like jokes that I'm addicted to sports. All I do is listen to podcasts and read stories and stuff like that. I've only listened to one podcast, and the podcast I listened to was only about Lincoln Riley going to Oklahoma, going to USC. And I haven't read any coaching. I haven't read any stories. The only story I read was about the coaching searches,
yeah,
and like staff hirings and stuff, just because I find that interesting. I have not. Like, I was so emotionally invested, I had to like take a break and like decompress and like. Let me. It's like I try not to get like that. But like the biggest games, dude, like playing Michigan, no, the national championship, like those types of games, they get me like that. And I just like
I ended up taking a nap after that game. I'm not gonna lie. And like I wasn't that emotionally invested, but it was such a high intense game that I was like, ooh, I need a nap. I'm going ahead and get me some seats real quick. And it's crazy because. I'm looking at it. I thought Michigan ran for over 300 yards. They didn't even. They 297. You would have. You.
That's 300, but still.
Yeah, but you would have thought it was worse, really.
Yeah, you would have thought it was like 400.
Yeah, it was just. It was such domination. And they passed for 190. They ain't bad, but 190 passing yards. So like over 400 yards total. Yeah. But
yeah, it was just they got the plays when they needed it the most, yeah. And that's what made it feel like the worst.
It was nice. What was the most impressive thing, and that's why I think you said Jim gets some more of your respect, is because they came out in that second half and in the fourth quarter, especially in the fourth quarter, because every time Ohio State scored, Michigan answered. And that was the biggest
Every single time.
Every single time. And that was the biggest thing we kept saying about Harbaugh, is that he'll lose a game in the fourth quarter, even though he definitely wasn't supposed to. And this time he
did it to Michigan State.
Yeah. Yeah, he just did it earlier. So I was like, ah, man, they're gonna lose. But as soon as Ohio State scored, and it was such a long drive. I mean, it was a long one. And Michigan came out 3 runs, touchdown. I was like, oh, no, they're done. I was like, this game's over.
Yeah. I was like, this game is different.
Yeah,
this game is different.
This is different.
And I have to give them credit. So a lot of people are saying they threw 5 times in the second half. From the stats that I have, they only threw 3 times. Because I had the quarterback at okay. They probably did throw 5 times. J.J. McCarthy probably threw a couple of times.
That was the second drive in the drive in the fourth quarter that got another touchdown. He threw passes that threw Ohio State off because they started playing with Ohio. That's what it was. They started playing with Ohio State in that last drive, and it was like, oh, this is a statement win. They really saying like, we bullying you today.
Well, one thing that I always say, especially about Ryan Day, Lincoln Riley, some of the like offensive geniuses, you know, an offense is clicking when they can run a play that sets up another play.
Mm-hmm.
And Michigan did that with that little like sweep with the motion that came backwards. They ran that for like 7-8 yards, and either the very next play or a couple plays later, they did it again, but handed the ball off on the reverse, and it was a touchdown.
Yep.
Like, you know, and when they can build off plays.
Because what's his name? McCarthy had one throw, and he came in, and he acted like he was about to throw it, pulled it back, and threw the ball. And that was right. That was set up 2 drives ago when he came in and ran the ball.
Yeah.
He didn't even see the field for like 2 more drives, and he comes in and throws the 31-yard pass. So it was beautifully coached by the offensive and the defensive coordinator.
100%. They outcoached them in every level. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't typically happen. Because Ryan Day is like, and please, Buckeye fans, Ryan Day is a good coach. If you are listening to this and you are one of the ones who are questioning if Ryan Day should coach Ohio State, he is a good coach, and there are not enough good coaches better than him.
No, I promise you,
there's not. Look at LSU. LSU doesn't have a job. Doesn't have a coach for their job yet. USC, there's so few good coaches. They had to steal Lincoln Riley.
Yeah,
because they couldn't just hire somebody. Right. Nick Saban's never leaving.
Nope.
Dabo, I mean,
they might die. Same roll tide.
9-3 is a good year for most teams, not for Clemson. Nobody's talking about firing Dabo.
He was supposed to leave.
He should have fired himself, but, you know, we're talking about firing Dabo, but nobody who matters in their program is.
Right.
There are not enough good coaches nationally. There are not that many coaches better than Ryan Day. He has some mistakes that he made this year as a coach and as a play caller and as a hiring of his staff that he needs to fix.
Yeah.
But you can't name a coach who is realistic for Ohio State that's better than him.
Not right now.
So he got out-coached very badly. And I like – the one thing I will say – Woody Hayes, I think it was a Woody Hayes quote, he put it up. And a lot of players put it on their story and different stuff like that. And it was like, nothing cleanses your spirit like getting beat up, essentially. Something like that. I'm not saying it exactly right, but it was essentially them just saying like, yeah, okay.
We needed that.
We needed that. And that's the point that I made. And I think I made it on this show. You need to lose sometimes. Like,
and we thought it was the Oregon game. We thought it was what it was, but you could see at some points, like sometimes they looked a little shaky. And this was the one game that they finally fell off. Like they fell off.
Yeah. And it's even worse because it happened to your rival.
Yep.
And I think this is, and I mentioned it, and I tweet so much and other podcasts and stuff that I never remember where I mentioned it, but I mentioned before that I was concerned that Ryan Day would be too happy with the defensive improvement and not fire the defensive coaching staff. Well, you can't be happy no more.
Nope. You gotta make that decision now.
And not that we're Alabama. I understand there's some differences. But last time Alabama didn't do good, they fired a bunch of people and won the national championship the next year.
Sure did.
So, not again, I'm not saying we're Alabama. Nobody is Nick Saban. But sometimes you have to have an underwhelming season for you to really look in the mirror and say, okay. Because when good things happen, despite you not being good, it's easy to forget. For me, if I get an A on this paper that I procrastinated, it's going to be easy to forget that I shouldn't procrastinate.
Yep.
I get A's on a lot of my papers. That's why it's easy for me to procrastinate. When you can make good out of bad, it's hard to look in the mirror. And so Ohio State fans need that. And again, this is not an Ohio State podcast, so just switching. Michigan fans, we talked so much about Ohio State. I don't even know if there's any Michigan fans that listen to this. But if there are, Michigan fans had to sit in that for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody deserves anything in sports, but it's like, come on. Like, let them have it. Let them talk their shit. We talked it, I mean, forever. Let them have it. And then make them earn it. Yeah. Next year, make them earn it.
Yeah.
We earned 10 years of shit talking by beating them for 10 years. Make them earn it next year. But for these 365 days, we got to eat it.
Yeah, and you know, it's just nice to see that they didn't fold over. They didn't turn into the Harbaugh team we thought they really were.
Yeah.
Because I was like,
I mean, Jim Harbaugh is going to get a lifetime extension, bro. Like,
now he got to win the championship now. Like, we beat them, but all right, let's go next week.
Okay, but here's the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They should blow out Iowa,
mm-hmm.
right? They should.
I think they will.
I'm telling you right now,
mm-hmm.
Michigan should be in the national championship game this year.
They could. They are good enough for that, yeah.
They're replacing Ohio State, and Ohio State should have been to the national championship game. Michigan's better than Cincinnati, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If Michigan plays Cincinnati, they should be in.
Mm-hmm.
The only team that is in the hunt for the national championship outside of Georgia that I wouldn't pick Michigan over is maybe Oklahoma State, because Oklahoma State is really, really good.
Yes.
But if they play Notre Dame, I'm picking Michigan. They play Cincinnati, I'm picking Michigan. I don't even know who else is realistically has a shot. So if they play those two, I'm picking them. If they play Oklahoma State, I'm not sure. Because Oklahoma State's really good, and they have a really, really good defense. So that one would be hard. But, like, there's no reason Michigan shouldn't be Georgia versus Michigan in the national championship game. And I'm not picking Michigan to win that game. But if they showed up like they did here, and they, like, you know, like, I'm going to give them a chance.
Yeah, no, they have a real shot at the national championship. And that's why I'm saying, like, it's like, yeah, we beat our rivals. We finally got a W. But, all right, let's finish the job. And I think that's the difference that I was talking about when I say they look different. Because I think they're going to come out against Iowa and blow them out by, like, 28. I think they are. Because – Iowa's defense is tired. It looks tired, and their offense isn't that good anyway. And if you can keep Ohio State to, what was it, 27, you can keep Iowa to 6.
Yeah, 100%. And the one thing I will say, because I'm not just going to switch up and say I fully believe in Jim Harbaugh, I don't. The one thing that concerns me, though, is he's Jim Harbaugh. And I would be concerned that he put so much into this one game that he can't keep it in the other games. Like, Iowa is a little different because it's the Big Ten championship game. And in theory, hear me out. In theory, you should care about trying to win a national championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we've even seen it with Ohio State. We've seen it with Oklahoma. We've seen it with these teams. It's easy to beat the teams that you really have hate for. Right.
Mm-hmm.
When you have to prepare for Cincinnati or Oklahoma State or Notre Dame, Michigan has hate for, so that one's a little bit different. But when you have to prepare for these teams, it's easy to kind of take it for granted, especially when your entire goal this year was beating Ohio State. So that's what I want to see.
But from Michigan, was that the goal? Maybe I think it might have been their entire goal might be at the very least, Big Ten championship. Because it was like, if we beat Ohio State, we win the we win the Big Ten. So I think that might have been their smallest goal was win the Big Ten, big goal, go for a national championship.
I disagree with that. I think that their sole goal this year was beating Ohio State. And I think anything else that came with it is an added bonus. And that's what scares me for this team, because it's still Jim Harbaugh coached. And when it's not Ohio State in front of you, because we saw it in Michigan State, when it's not Ohio State in front of you, do they come with the same energy? Do they come with the same game
plan? That's what I think. But that's what I'm saying. I think they're different because I think they learned from that Michigan State game. Because they came out with the fury to beat them. They were up big and then lost it in the fourth. And I think they learned from that game. That's why they didn't lose it. They didn't lose to Ohio State because they're like, no, even if they score, we got to keep beating them up. We got to keep scoring. So I think they learned from that. I did. I really do.
And I see how you feel that way, but that's the leap I'm not willing to take, because it's different when it's your rival. It's different when it's the team who has beat you 10 straight years. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to keep that level up when it's your goal. If you, I just don't know, because like, I'm not ready to switch up and just say that I believe in Jim Harbaugh, that because I don't. So I'm not ready to say I believe that they can take that same intensity into the last two or three games of their season. So while I expect them to be in the national championship, because they should, based on who they're going to have to play, I wouldn't be surprised if they lost to Iowa. I wouldn't be surprised if they got blew out by Cincinnati.
Did you just see that play?
Yeah, I did. but yeah, I just don't trust Jim Harbaugh still.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. I don't blame you for that.
But man.
But I do, what a game. I do think this is a different team. For at least this season.
Maybe. But that's the thing. You don't know. But the best part about college football is we're going to get to see.
Yep, you know, literally next week.
We're going to get to see if this was, like, if they're going to have a hangover because they beat Ohio State and they spent too much time celebrating. And I don't think Iowa is I wish they were playing Wisconsin, because Wisconsin, to me, would be a better judgment of this.
Yeah.
I think there's – I'm not sure there's a way that Wisconsin loses – that Michigan loses to Iowa. Because Iowa's biggest thing is interception. Iowa's biggest things are interceptions, and Michigan just won't throw the ball.
Yeah, Michigan.
So it's like
Michigan will have no problem running the ball.
So I don't know if Iowa is. I don't know if Iowa is the biggest marker of if they're ready for what's next, because I don't see any way that Iowa wins this game. But that first game in the playoffs, though, that will be a test of, like, can they do it? Are they, you know, really about what this season should be about? And we'll see.
I hope they come out and beat Iowa. And I hope they do it soundly. I hope they do the exact same thing they did to Ohio State, 42-27.
I hope they beat Iowa, because I don't care about any team in the Big Ten West, and I want them all to fire their coaches. and Iowa getting blew out by, like, Iowa is the same thing, right? Iowa is, they have a lot of issues, but their season ended well.
Yeah.
9-3 with a chance at the Big Ten West. Oh my gosh.
You'll get there, man. You had a long weekend.
9-3 with a Big Ten West division championship and a chance at the Big Ten championship.
Right.
For the first time since 2015, it's going to be very easy for them to accept mediocrity and say this was a good year.
Mm-hmm. They are definitely not, but they're going to come out and try to play spoiler.
And that's fine. But what I'm saying is Iowa should not have accepted being the number two team in the country, losing three games straight, barely skating by, and then needing Minnesota to beat Wisconsin, which has only happened like two times in the last 20 years. That rivalry is almost as bad as the Ohio State-Michigan one.
Yeah.
Needing them to win a game that they never win for you to get into the championship game. But because they've had that success, it's just like me procrastinating, it's going to be easy for them to ignore all of their flaws.
You're not wrong.
And that's why I hope Michigan goes out and beats them by 50.
Yeah.
So they have to look themselves in the mirror and say, this was not enough.
Yeah, I do hope it's a blowout. Just for Michigan's confidence, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm still an Ohio State fan. Outside of, like, my dislike of the Big Ten West is fueling me wanting Michigan to win. I can't root for Michigan outside of this game. So it's like, I can't, this is a Big Ten podcast, but I can't lie to y'all. I can't sit here and be like, ah, Big Ten over everything. I want Michigan to win the national championship, because I don't. I don't. You know how annoying it's going to be with Michigan to say we beat y'all and won a national championship?
Bro, if they win a national championship, he ain't losing his job at all. Let that one
they're
go.
Building a, they're building a statue. He's going to get it. What Mel Tucker's 10-year 95. He's going to get 10-year 105. They're just going to keep upping each other by $1 million a year.
That's insane.
But that is it. Before we go to commercial, though,
right?
That is another important thing, though. What is Jim Harbaugh going to do? First of all, next year, he could lose Josh Gattis, who's his offensive coordinator, who was a really hot young coach until he started struggling a little bit at Michigan. But this season could have been enough for him to get a job.
Yep.
He might lose Mike McDonald, who is his hot defensive coordinator, who was in the NFL and was on was working for John Harbaugh.
Yep.
And, you know, we talked about it before. One significant change is enough to get you a head coaching job, more than consistency sometimes. Mm-hmm. When you come in, that's what happened with Jeff Hafley in Ohio State. They had a bad defense. He fixed it. They went to the national championship. He's now the coach at BC. Mike McDonald may get a head coaching job. Jim Harbaugh may get a raise off of this season. So what is he going to do next year when he's not this underdog coach? I'm only making $4.5 million. Whoa, I sacrificed everything for another season.
He's definitely still an underdog coach, because at the end of the day, he only won one game.
But it's not. But have you seen Michigan fans on the timeline?
No.
It isn't like they've forgotten all 7 years.
Oof.
That's what I'm saying. When he doesn't have that pit in his stomach from not being able to win, when they go out and give him another contract, making $4.5 million, when he loses his offensive coordinator and his defensive coordinator, that's going to determine who Jim Harbaugh is.
Yeah.
And maybe none of that happens.
I just, you know what? I feel like they right now, I'm going to let Jim, I'm gonna let Michigan fans enjoy themselves, because it's been rough. It's crazy because it hasn't been that rough, but it's been rough. Like, they've been winning 11 games, but
yeah,
it's not always the prettiest 11.
Mm-mm. No, and so, like, I'm a big pitcher. I don't say that to disparage what they did.
Yeah.
Just in conversation, that's what I'm going to be looking for. Like, we have a couple of podcasts left before the offseason. That's what I want to know. If they give him an extension and he's no longer this quote unquote underdog coach making $4.5 million who sacrificed everything for one more season, if he's no longer, you know, if he doesn't have his defensive coordinator or his offensive coordinator or both, if he doesn't have fifth year senior Aiden Hutchinson and David Ajabo and Hassan Haskins, what does he do next year?
Because he does recruiting.
Yeah, because like you said, ultimately it was one game. And if he wins this game and gets blown out the next two, he still might lose his job. So,
I don't but think
for
so.
Now, none of that matters.
I don't think
well,
so.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Well, if he was at Ohio State, he would. Because people are calling for Ryan Day's head and he lost once. So,
they still beat. He still beat Ohio State, so he not losing his job this year.
Yeah. Well, I meant next year. Well, I said the next two. If he gets blown out the next two and he's 1-8 in this rivalry, then.
Oh, that's what you mean. Okay.
I don't know how. Yeah. Like, he goes out the next 2 years, gets blown out. He's 1-8 in this rivalry. Like, they might look at it differently. But yeah, so before we go to the ads, this is the biggest game. I think we talked a lot about it, but do you have any other thoughts on the game, Jim Harbaugh, Ohio State, anything before we kind of switch gears a little bit?
Nah, that's about all I have for that. Hilarious game. Like, and just to watch, because to watch my Ohio State friends just despair, to act like it didn't even happen today, to wake up and be like, we didn't have a game yesterday, that was somebody else. Like, yeah, that is, it's hilariously sad sometimes. And also, to the people who are making Flint jokes, y'all weird. Y'all weird. What? Yeah, they're Ohio State fans making Flint jokes. Like, first of all, Ann Arbor and Flint, nowhere near each other. And it's just weird to even bring that up. Learn how to take an L. Learn how to be classy, Ohio. Like, you don't have to even go that far, because it's not like we don't have cities with bad water as well. Like, we're right next door. It's like, so let's relax.
Yeah, that's really weird. That's like, so yeah, that actually brings me a good point. That's going to be the last thing that I'm going to talk about. Mm-hmm. Ohio State fans, for those that are listening, Michigan, let them talk their trash. We are one of the worst fan bases in the country.
Yep.
Just think about the things that we, not me personally, but like, we as a fan base have said to Michigan and Michigan fans. Think about what players have done and said, what coaches have done and said. Think about losing this game for 10 years. Think about winning this game 3 times in 21 years. Let them have it. Yes. Like, don't be that fan base that, like, makes fun of them being happy. Like, I've seen too much of that. Oh, you're happy about one win. We've won. That. Like, no, shut up. Shut up.
Like, they blew y'all. They've won. They bullied us. Right.
Let them be happy. And that's the other thing. There was too much talking this year. Honestly, I had a weird feeling about this game when I saw Ohio State players start doing performative stuff, like stepping on jerseys and posting it on social media and that kind of stuff. Mm. That's not the stuff that you need to be doing. You need to be like, go watch film. You know what I mean? Like, so Michigan has dealt with a lot of stuff, and let them have this year. And if you want to talk any shit, just say we're going to beat them by 50 next year. Because eventually I'm going to start saying that. And I believe it until it doesn't happen. But as far as like trying to stop them from being happy or stopping them from talking trash or whatever, they've earned it. Their team earned it by bullying us up and down the field. Yep. Don't be those stupid fans that try to steal their joy and talk bad about them and stuff like that. Like, I'm not saying you have to like Michigan fans. That's not what I'm saying. But I mean, when it comes to this particular
game, it's not game, like y'all haven't gotten y'all butt whooped before. Y'all know what a butt whooping look like. Don't get mad. This is like Michigan. Like, y'all taking butt whoopings before. Take this one with the same amount of grace. It wasn't that much, but you had enough.
Ohio State. I was about to say, Ohio State fans don't take any loss with grace.
Like, you had a lot. You had better grace when you got your butt whooped by Alabama in the national championship game and stuff like that. Like, I've seen better.
Yeah, I'm not saying be happy about it, right? Mm-hmm. But just don't be assholes about it. Like there are literally people judging Michigan's fun. What are you talking
don't
about?
Don't be those if fans. Don't be those
like
fans.
I don't need to continue. Y'all know exactly what I'm saying. Don't be those fans, all right? We'll get them in 365 days. I think someone already posted it. It's November 26, 2022. But until then, we just got to deal with the year of Michigan talking trash. And that is what it is. So that's all I got to say. Dante already said he had nothing else to say about this game. So we're going to go to our ads really quick, flip the script, talk a little bit about Michigan versus Iowa, but we kind of already talked about that a little bit. So maybe this podcast won't go super long. We'll get into our pit stops and stuff pretty shortly and go from there. So we'll be right back. All right, everyone. Welcome back to Land Grant Holy Land's I-70 Football Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jordan, and I'm here with my co-host, Dante. And we just spent the majority of this podcast talking about Michigan bullying Ohio State because that was the biggest game. That was the most important thing. I do want to talk about some other things that mattered. So just some kind of quick hitting things. Maryland, in the game of like who wants to be bowl eligible, blew out Rutgers. I did not see that coming.
The exact same thing Michigan did. Pretty much.
Yeah, like a part of it is like, okay, we talked all year about how Maryland had an offense and there was a chance that they could always explode, right?
Yeah.
But like, we also talked about how like it seemed like Rutgers was more mentally tough, right? And that we thought because of that they would win this game. Well, I don't know if Rutgers is more mentally tough or not, but that Maryland offense finally showed up.
Yep.
And they won 40-16. So we say in the intro, we talk about Rutgers to Ohio State. If we didn't mention, we wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't mention Maryland getting to a bowl game, which is huge. That's good in there. I don't know if they're still rebuilding. Like, this coach has been there for like 3 years, but that's just a positive way to end the season.
Yeah.
It's a tough season. They had a tough schedule. They lost some games, but to go out in a game that you believe you should win because they're in the same boat as you, and to get that last spot of bowl eligibility, that's major. So
yeah. Shout out to them. And the one thing for Rutgers I have to say is, like, at least you're not Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Rutgers is still rebuilding. So they would have been happier with 6-6, but 5-7 is solid. Yeah. You take your wins and your losses, you take your lessons that you learned, and you just build from it. And you try to come back better next year.
Yeah.
Illinois just bullied Northwestern.
Yeah, no, that was insane.
I don't under, like,
are
I
they bowl eligible? Because is Illinois bowl eligible?
No, I think they won 4 games, okay. 4 or 5.
Okay,
yeah. It's crazy because, like, they're probably gonna win the Big Ten West and, like, next year or the year after, because that's just what they do. But, like, oh my god, Baker Mayfield is so trash. He just dropped the ball.
Yeah, I don't even know what that was.
Who do you blame? It's not Odell's fault. He literally dropped the ball.
Yeah, I don't know what he was trying to do there. And you know what? And he do look injured because he hasn't stopped limping one moment. But this is what I have to go with that. It's like, if you're that injured, all you're doing at this point is being a hindrance to your team. Whoa. Yeah, he just let it go. Being a
that
hindrance
had nothing to do with his ankle. He just dropped it.
Yeah, he just let it go.
He literally just dropped it. Like, you're not helping me. I don't care about this tough guy thing. You're barely good when you are healthy.
Yeah.
If you are this injured, sit down.
You shouldn't be playing. You're just a hindrance to your team than you are a help.
But it's not raining. It's he just dropped it.
That's the second turnover for them, right? Yeah. And that's two.
Lamar Jackson has played like trash all game. And just gave the ball away. And they were in field goal range. All you had to do is run 3 times with Nick Chubb. And if you don't pick the first down, you go into the half tied 6-6, and you're happy about that. Instead,
that's bad coaching by Stefanski.
It is. That too, because he's supposedly injured, and you put the ball in your quarterback's hands instead of one of the top 3 running backs in the league to get a field goal so you can go in with some positives.
And it's not like you're down big. You're only down by 3.
And you were in field goal range. Yep. You played a crappy half and go in tied 6-6. You accept that. It's just bad. But anyway, Northwestern's probably going to win the MAC, the Big Ten West, next year or the year after, because that's just what they do. But, like, how do you not fire the coach after this? Like, I'm not even going to go on this rant. I just don't understand the Big Ten West. Like, they have 1 or 2 wins all season. You got blew out by Illinois. That's the same thing as Maryland and Rutgers. 2 teams who are on the same level, but you shouldn't be on the same level because Northwestern used to be significantly better than Illinois.
Yep.
And you get 47-14. I don't have nothing to say about that. Everyone knows I think every team in the Big Ten West should fire their coach. And that is proof.
You haven't stopped saying that all year.
No. So just other things that happened. Michigan State beat Penn State.
Yep.
That was a good game. Did you get a chance to watch that game?
I did watch that game, yeah.
I don't think I watched all of it because I think that's the game I had on when I was recording the podcast, so I didn't get to pay full attention to it.
Yeah.
But first of all, Penn State in the all-white uniforms in the snow, cheat code.
Yeah, that was childish. My eyes was like for a second there.
Like, you couldn't even see it. There's literally a picture that somebody posted, and it's like, there's a guy there. But, like, barely. And it's like he's standing still. Like, it's not even like video. Like, he's literally standing still. And you would low-key have to look to see him in the snow. Like,
cheat code.
But that was a good game, kind of how we expected it to be. Michigan State won 30-27.
That's the first time they beat Penn State in 2 years. So
yeah, so that's a positive way to end the season for them. They end the season 10-2, probably get a New Year's Six bowl game.
They'll be ranked. I mean, they'll probably be ranked like ninth by the end of the year.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. They'll probably finish top 10 because obviously teams in the playoff are going to lose and whatever. He just threw another interception.
Bruh.
What is Lamar Jackson? Oh God, we need. Y'all are used to this by now. We can't help ourselves. We watch games when we record.
This is awful. Like, my goodness, both teams don't want to win. This is Detroit Cleveland all over again.
Man, that's bad. What else happened? Oh, Purdue blew out Indiana, which we expected, but Indiana zero Big Ten wins.
Not a single one.
Someone tried to old takes exposed us. Like, dude, I get it, but like, we're not famous.
Yeah, not at all. No one's gonna care what we said.
Like, they don't.
And
they
we
don't
knew, care and we it. Had a feeling we were gonna be wrong about a lot of things, and very wrong about Indiana, very wrong about Purdue, because we said Purdue was gonna go no wins in the Big Ten for real. Because I think I have that.
Yeah. I actually just put it up on Twitter because it was easy. Yeah, you had them no wins in the Big Ten going 1-11. I had them one win going 2-10. Yeah.
Man, Rutgers, Illinois, every single team better than Indiana.
Literally. Illinois, they went 5-7. Yeah, they went 5-7. That's a good year in your first year.
Yeah.
5-7 is a good year. Yeah, man. 4-5 in the conference, that's not bad. But like 0-9 in the Big Ten. Come on, bro. 2-10 on the year. They lost 8 straight, Dante. 8 straight.
Trash.
I'm disgusted.
Basuda.
What else happened before we oh, let's talk about the other big game before we get into a little bit. Just I don't know how much we have to say because we already kind of talked about it just naturally.
Yeah.
But we did mention this. Minnesota beats Wisconsin, which is major. It really went along the trend of a lot of teams exercising demons this year.
Right.
We said that they could win. We just weren't sure if they would. And shout out to them for getting it done. Braylon Allen, the running back for Wisconsin, only had 47 yards rushing.
That's an L.
Yeah, I've highlighted this before. They won every single game where he had 100 yards rushing.
Yeah.
He didn't have 100 yards rushing.
He didn't have 50. Lost. Yeah, that's an L.
So, like, shout out to Minnesota. And Minnesota, get Ibrahim announced that he's coming back, which kind of was to be expected, but like he had enough work to go to the league.
Yeah.
But that early injury, he said, nah, I'm coming back. So that's major for them. Their quarterback's coming back. I'm not sure how major that is. I think that they should have told him to leave. I just feel like, why do you want a quarterback to be there for 6 years? You recruited young guys for a reason. And as soon as he announced he was coming back, one of their younger quarterbacks decided to transfer.
Yeah.
Like, is he that good? Like, if he's that good that he needs to play for 6 years, then you're not good at recruiting. Like, I would have told him, like, hey, buddy, you've had, like, 4 years as a starter. We have some younger guys we need to work in. We appreciate you wanting to come back, but, like, either go to the league or transfer somewhere else. Like, somebody else needs you.
Yeah,
and I know that's, like, a hard – yeah, like, I was literally just about to say that. And I know that's a hard thing to do and a hard thing to say, but, like, you don't need a 6-year quarterback.
Nothing
like,
with the ball after all that. Oh my God. this team stinks, man. But I can't talk no better. My team suck too.
Yeah, you got blew out by the Bengals.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just like, I don't know. But kudos to Minnesota for finishing the season strong.
Yep.
Especially, I mean, they lost like, their top four running backs, and they ended the year 8-4. Shout out to Minnesota for backing me up and saying that they're one of the only teams in the West that shouldn't fire their coach.
Yeah.
Because that is a good coaching job. They lost their top, at least their top three running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but also it's just like disappointing because it's like if you don't lose to freaking Illinois and freaking Bowling Green, you're 10-2.
Yep. You're in this. you're in this game instead of Iowa.
Like, that's just so unbelievable how close they are to 10-2. And the fact that they genuinely should have been 10-2.
Yeah.
It's just going to be fun in a couple of weeks when we re-rank these teams and we get to go through our tiers. Sneak peek, if you've been listening to us from the summer, you know that we did tiers going into the season. We're going to do tiers going out of the season and reflect on all of these teams a little bit more. Some of them are going to be very painful, but other ones are going to be fun. And when we get to wherever... Minnesota is. We gonna talk about Minnesota. That one's gonna be pretty fun.
And you know what?
I think so.
We definitely owe Michigan an apology.
I don't owe them an apology.
We said they was gonna go 6-6.
Yeah, because that's what they've shown. I'm not gonna apologize for them getting it together. Like, but there's nothing that they did before we did that ranking.
And we were wrong about Michigan State too. We were very wrong about them too.
But, like, again, there's nothing that we saw from them that made, like, we didn't know that they got a Heisman contender from the transfer portal. Like, that's the thing about it. You just don't know. It's like, I'm not going to apologize to them.
Fair enough.
They just proved us wrong.
Yeah.
Like, shout out to them.
Yeah. So he was way off.
Like, that's like saying you should apologize to Purdue. Like, Purdue lost, like, won, like, two games last year. I'm not going to apologize to Purdue. They just had a great season.
Yeah.
Good for them. I'm happy for them. Like, I don't do this to be right. I let, like, these are kids' lives. Like, they put in a lot of work to be good.
They do.
I don't get any joy out of saying anyone's going to be bad, but I'm also not going to apologize when you're typically bad and you just weren't this year.
Not at all.
But I do have a question for you.
Okay.
Because I think that brings up a good point. Do you remember all the talk about super seniors and how that was going to, like, change stuff this year?
Yes.
Think about what happened. Minnesota was good. Purdue was good. Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma. Michigan beats Ohio State. Washington State beats Washington. North Carolina State beats North Carolina. Minnesota beats Wisconsin. All of these teams, these fourth and fifth year seniors, this extra year, COVID was weird throughout the country, throughout the nation. All of these games, these surprise happenings, like Kentucky beats Florida, I think, for the first time in a while. I think they beat Florida. Just like South Carolina beat Florida, like all of these weird games and all of these teams who were better than they thought. The year's over. Do you think that played a part? Do you think some of this is the super senior stuff, or do you think some people just had good coaching jobs? Do you think some of this is the sustainable?
Of all those things for me. I don't think the super seniors played that big of a part. It helped, of course, because it's like leadership and stuff. But every school had that opportunity. Every school had.
That's not true. The good teams, like the really good teams, are never going to have super seniors because all those guys are going to the draft.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Super seniors benefits the teams with the guys who are not, like, going to go to the draft, and they're better than your young guys. So, like, it's not entirely true that everyone had the same chance because, like, Ohio State's never going to have a six-year senior. Oklahoma, Alabama, Clemson, like, they're not going to have that because their guys are going to the league in 3 years. Like, the super senior thing very much benefits the lesser teams than it does the better teams.
And then you mean to tell me Denver blows out the – okay, bro. All right, man. None of this shit makes any sense. Football makes no sense. I fucking hate it. I think it played a little part, but not that much. Not as much as, like, I guess it made it a little even playing field, and maybe teams should look into trying to keep more seniors around for stuff like that to happen.
Yeah, I think it played a huge part in this season, and I think that's the thing that's going to make this hard to replicate for a lot of these teams because super seniors isn't just about like leadership, but leadership is really big. Sometimes your best players are seniors and they leave because they have to. And you have to go through growing pains of playing young guys who may or may not have been ready. And if they're not ready, that's an issue on the coaching staff. Yeah. But the other thing is, there's a benefit of when you have good players who are also older, playing against other teams who have young players who are inexperienced. And it's like when every team has young players, then talent wins out. But when you have a 24-year-old who's been playing for years, and that can sometimes beat out talent because he has the skill, the technique, the grown man strength, some of that other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's like when everyone has 18, 19-year-olds, the fastest, biggest, strongest one's going to win. But when you have an 18-year-old against a 24-year-old, and I understand there's more gaps and stuff like that, but I think that this was a bigger thing. I think this was huge, and I honestly am really interested to see how these teams fare next year.
Oh yeah, no, I am excited to see that.
Like, because I think we won't really know until next year. But I'll say this: if all of these teams are bad again next year, we'll know for sure. Like, we'll look at it and be like, yeah, no, that was a super senior thing. That was a 1 year thing. But
it's fine. Take advantage of it, right?
100%. And one of the reasons I think it plays such a big part of it is like Oklahoma, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State all have a chance of missing the playoffs in the same year.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, there's something to that. Like, that's not normal. Like,
I do find it hilarious all of them that, missing. Like, I know a lot of Ohio State players were happy that Clemson was definitely going to miss the playoffs to end up missing the playoffs.
Hey, it's better, like, I feel better that we missed because they missed.
I mean, yeah, they missed first. They were definitely, they're out of it a long time ago.
Yeah, like, I mean, like misery loves company. If we were 10-2, and Oklahoma, Alabama, and Clemson were all 12-0, that would feel like shit. I feel a lot better that they're 9-3 because they had a worse season than us, and their schedule was easier. Yeah, so, hey.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll end a little early, like 15 minutes. I don't really have too much more to talk about. Let's go ahead and get into our pit stops. I'm going to go first because I hate your pit stop, and I hate that you're disrespecting the sanctity of football.
That's season. Why you should think I should. Don't you think I should go first? Because mine's going to be quick for real. No.
Yeah, you're right. Go first.
Yeah, just okay, all right. The sanctity of season. Sorry, I just had to say this. The Lakers stink, man. They stink. And it's not like it's been – we have a good enough sample size for me to be like, we stink. We stink, Squidward. Like, we go into triple overtime with the Kings, man. With the Kings. And losing. And that's with the big three having decent games if you don't look at the three-point shooting percentage. If you don't look at that, like, Westbrook had a good game, Bron had a good game, and so did AD, and we still lost in triple overtime. Bron kept throwing up his effing threes, and he ended up, I think he was like 1-for-12. Like, bruh, we stink. And that's all I got.
Yeah, I don't really have much to say about that because I don't watch basketball. But if you say they stink, I believe you.
We stink.
I will realize how bad they stink when I watch basketball in January or February, whenever I decide to turn it on. But man, it's just like it's shocking that getting the 2011 All-Star team back together wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, like who would have thunk it?
Who would have thought that not keeping Alex Caruso, not getting Lonzo Ball or the other young guy from the Kings or whoever his name is that they were rumored to get? Who would have thought that not getting young guys, that getting Russ, who hasn't been good in like 4 years, who would have thought that was a bad idea? The only good thing they did was get Carmelo. I like Carmelo.
I mean, yeah, he ain't playing no defense for real. He ain't cooked on defense.
Well, he was never gonna play defense, but I mean, like,
yeah, but that's the thing. Like, if he get cooked on defense and everybody else getting cooked on defense,
Right, but it makes it worse when you, but like if you get Lonzo or you get the other guy who do play defense and Melo just your sixth man, you can handle him not playing defense. But when you build your team around old guys who also don't play defense, then it looks worse.
Yep.
But like Melo as your sixth or seventh man is a good pickup for anybody. It's just it looks worse because all of their other pickups were bad.
We stink. We stink.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to say about that. That sucks. I'm glad I'm not a Lakers fan.
Warriors are scary as hell, too.
Yeah, they're probably going to win it again, aren't they?
They just might.
People will stop disrespecting Steph.
I'm waiting on it.
Yeah, it's been big.
My favorite player it's in the league. Big. Not going to lie. Favorite player in the league. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, mine's LeBron since D-Wade retired. And I realized why I love Anthony Edwards. He plays like Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
It's the same reason I like Donovan Mitchell. I think it's his name.
Yeah.
Spider.
Yeah.
Is his first name Donovan? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They play like Dwayne Wade. That's why I like them. But like Anthony Edwards is that boy is crazy. He's nice.
He's gonna be
something. I be seeing all his highlights.
He's gonna be something one day.
Oh, for sure. Okay, so my pit stop is Lincoln Riley to USC. I love every single thing about this because it's just like it's proving that he's the only one with common sense at Oklahoma. And I understand that money talks, but he's the only one that's like, why would I leave? Why would we leave a good thing to a worse thing? Like, he's like, I don't want to coach in the SEC. Why would I leave the job where I'm guaranteed to win the Big 12 every year or almost every year? I'm guaranteed to have a good season. I'm going to make the playoffs almost every year or every other year. And once it becomes a 12-team thing, I'm going to probably make it every single year. I've gotten to dominate one conference forever. I get the best recruits. I do all of this stuff. Why would I leave that for the harder conference? Why would I leave that to go play Alabama, Georgia, and Texas A&M?
Yep.
And Oklahoma did it because of money, but he's like, absolutely not. I don't want to coach against Nick Saban. He's like, I like coaching against freaking Dave Aranda and Lance Leopold. Like, I want to coach against Matt Campbell. I don't want to coach against freaking Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. What did he do? What did he do? He left to USC where he has a chance to do the same exact thing. I understand that Oregon's there, but like playing Oregon or playing Alabama and Georgia and Texas A&M and LSU and Florida and South Carolina and all these other teams and having to deal with Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss and No.
I'm good.
I'm out.
Deuces.
Later. Norman, Oklahoma, or freaking Los Angeles. Hard decision. Like,
really beach and choice there.
I don't know if he's married, so if he's married, ignore this. But he's an attractive 36-year-old millionaire. I think the women in LA look a little bit better.
Yeah.
if he has a wife, ignore this. I don't know his life like that. Like, hopefully he's not, you know, cheating on his wife, but like if he is single, spend my time in LA or spend my time in Norman, Oklahoma. Such a hard decision. Coach against Bama or coach against Oregon and Oregon State and Washington and Washington State. Hard decision right
he
there.
Is married.
And the funniest is he?
Yeah. Got married in 2007.
Oh, he's like 36.
38.
He got married at like 21.
He's 38.
Hey, shout out to him. Yeah. He got married young. Okay. Cause that's like 14 years, right? 2007? He's 38? He got married at 24.
Yeah.
Hey,
some people
shout
do.
Out to him.
Yeah. Yeah,
shout out to his wife because he was not... Shout out to his wife because he was not a millionaire when he got rich.
Man.
I think about that all the time with LeBron. Like, I mean, like, Savannah is beautiful, all this other kind of stuff, cool. But, like, could you imagine hitching your wagon to someone at 16 and then they end up being, like, arguably the greatest basketball player ever, a multimillionaire, have all these companies, and, like, you and the next 17 generations of your family are rich off of a decision that you made at 16?
Yeah. Well,
and you can't say she knew, because how many good basketball players flame out?
So many.
Like, yeah, she knew LeBron was good, but she didn't know he was going to be this. He could have had 2 years in the league, got injured, had $1 million, blew it on cars and chains, and been broke the rest of his life.
Yep.
Like, she made a decision at 16, and now, like, look at her. Like, damn. But yeah, so shout out to his wife. There was no way he was a millionaire at 24. Now she's in California. I don't know if she has a job or anything like that. I don't know what she does, but whatever she does, I bet you that's a lot better in California than it is in Norman, Oklahoma, too.
She ain't got
especially
nothing.
If she doesn't work.
She ain't got nothing.
Because if she doesn't work, when he's working 20-hour days, you could go to the beach. You could take your kid to the beach and spend his millions. He ain't spending no money. He doesn't have to buy food because that's given to him. He doesn't buy clothes because that's given to him. He don't buy anything, really. Like, everything's given to him. So she's just chilling, raising the kids. And that is a major sacrifice, because being a coach's wife is not easy.
No.
And it's a lot better to be a coach's wife in L.A. than it is in Norman, Oklahoma.
Oh, man, he graduated college and then got married the next year.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That means they got married while he was a GA. He was poor. He was broke. Like, he was, like, especially in 2007, he was legitimately poor underneath the poverty line. Like, he was probably making, like, $10,000. Like, he was probably making, like, $10,000 a year. Like, I'm not even joking. GAs don't make no money. I don't know how he supported a family off of that. But, hey, come up, because 14 years later, head coach of USC, millionaire. Love to see it. But it's just like, yeah, I just like, and then
18-year-old daughter.
What? Oh, so he had a daughter in college.
Yeah.
At 20.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm.
Hey, being an 18-year-old, a lot better in LA than it is in Norman, Oklahoma. This is a win for everybody in the family. Like, come on. yeah, but it's just like, and then the funniest thing is some in the 2022 class, but especially in the 2023 class, all of Oklahoma's top recruits are from Los Angeles. They're from California. So he's going to go, and they're all just going to, some of them, have, like two or three of them have already decommitted. He's just going to, they're just going to, like, one of them literally tweeted, staying home, ? With the eye emoji.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I like Lincoln Riley. I was going to go to Oklahoma, but now he's in LA where my family can come to every single game. So he's literally just going to flip all the good players from the Oklahoma class who are from LA, wide receivers, quarterback, running, multiple wide receivers. There's literally three players from the same team. He has a quarterback, running back, and wide receiver from the same team, all of them from California. Yeah, I bet you they all end up at USC.
Nice.
Because, again, playing football for Lincoln Riley in Norman, Oklahoma, or Lincoln Riley's replacement in Norman, Oklahoma, playing football in L.A. with NIL, where your family can come to every single game. Hard decision. I don't know what to do. I just love everything about it, because it's just like his job would have gotten infinitely harder if he stayed and had to coach in the SEC.
And that's hilarious. And there's some macho. They're going to have to be in the SEC, and he about to start stealing recruits.
Yeah. And there's some macho men out there like, oh, Lincoln Riley's scared of the SEC. Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And? I will see you in the playoffs.
You figured me out. Oh.
Gosh darn. Some broke person and freaking on Twitter is saying I'm scared of Nick Saban. I am, but I'm rich and I'm living in California.
Yep.
While you're tweeting me from the couch.
Eat my shorts.
So yeah. So I love everything about it. But also, this I lied. This is the last thing I'm gonna say about it. The thing I like about it the most is USC did what top programs should always do, and what Ohio State needs to do with their coordinator hires. They said they pulled out their balls and their wallet, put them on the table, and said, "My job is better than yours."
They pulled out their window?
I don't care where you work. Their balls and their wallet.
Okay.
Put them on the table.
All right.
Because it takes balls to hire a coach away from another program. Fair enough. Takes balls to go to someone and say, You're a coach who has won X number of Big 12 championships, has been to the playoffs X time. Leave your job to come to mine. Like, Ohio State needs to take a defensive coordinator from one of these really good programs. It takes balls to go in and say, hey, I don't care that you're already a defensive coordinator. I don't care that you're established. My job is better than yours. And there's only a couple programs that can do that. And I like that USC did it. I like that they finally stopped hiring bad coaches, and they finally stopped doing the, oh, he was the offensive coordinator of this coach and he was a USC person. No, they went out, they put their balls and their money on the table, and they said, we're going to go get a top three coach in America. And that is my, I love that for them, because I think he's just good enough to bring them back.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll ever win a national championship. I'm not saying that, but they're going to be good again.
Oh, yeah,
they're going to have 9, 10, 11 win seasons.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the playoffs. So I love that, because that's what other teams need to do. That's what Ohio State needs to do. That's why I'm so frustrated they haven't fired anyone. These top teams, these top defenses, Iowa, well, they failed a little bit, so maybe not them, but we'll include them. Iowa, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, University of Houston, like these schools whose job is not as good as ours, they need to go, and they need to say, hey, you're in Oklahoma, come to Columbus, make more money, win a national championship.
Yeah.
So that's what I gotta say. Do you have any other thoughts on that or anything before we end the podcast?
Nah, but good luck Oklahoma in the coming years.
Yeah, I'm gonna love when they're like 6-6. Be like, bet you missed the Big 12 now.
Yep.
Oh God, yeah. All right, well, that's it. As always, thank you for traveling I-70 with us. If you enjoy the episode, which I hope you did, because you're still here, if you enjoy the episode, make sure to leave a review, a 5-star review, and make sure to mention Dante and I. You can find me on Twitter at JordanW330. And Dante, where can they find you?
DanteM10216.
And that's it, folks. There's sadly only a couple weeks left of college football, but we'll be here through the bowl games, we'll be here through the national championship, and we'll be here through the offseason. Thank you for listening, and catch you next week.